Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome again to another episode of Top Advisor Marketing. Today we're going to do something a little bit different. We haven't done this yet. We're going to pick Kirk Lowe's brain a little bit more deeply on his favorite marketing tools. And what we're going to do on episode 20 today is walk through 10 favorite marketing tools that Kirk Lowe uses on a regular basis. So Kirk, are you ready to dive into this?
I am. I'm loving today, this time of the year.
Why is that?
Friday.
Oh, I'm a big fan of Fridays myself. Now, the first tool that you're going to talk about today is something that you and I use every time we podcast. So let's dive in.
Let's do it. These are 10 of my favorite. I'm sure there may be a couple more. We'll have another podcast when those come to mind. I'm getting old, though, and I can't remember everything, Matt.
That's all right. That's why we record these things, Kirk.
So the first one is mindmeister.com. As we every single podcast that Matt and I do, and we pass this along to everybody that we work with, and we're passing along to all you guests, every single podcast that we do is from a mind map inside of mindmeister.com. And I have researched a lot and worked with a lot of different mind mapping tools. I find this one to be the most convenient and works really well. They don't often have server glitches like some other ones I've used or integration issues. It's really simple. It's elegant. It's quick, quick to kind of get themes and everything going. I really like it. So that's mindmeister.com. So mindmeister.com. Do it again. mindmeister.com. And I'll list that.
And the show notes.
I'll list it in the show notes for everybody so you didn't have to.
Well, one of the nice things about MindMeister and one of the reasons we use it so much for podcasting and with all of our podcasting clients is because it really gives them a great sequence of how to follow topics and make sure that they stay on track. But you also use it in a brainstorming session, which you introduced me to MindMeister a couple of years ago. And that's how I fleshed out financial advisors' 10-year plans using this because the way it flows. And so MindMeister, by the way, it's free, right? There's a paid version, but it is an absolutely fantastic program.
It's pretty cheap. I think it's under $10 a month.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Now, some of these I've never heard of. So let's dive into number two. So number one was MindMeister. What's number two?
So number two is Canva.com. And I just discovered this one, and I want to marry it. But I actually really love my wife. But yeah, it's just so amazing. It's saving us so much time in what we do at work. So Canva is canva.com. And I used to promote or share Pablo, which is a kind of a sister company of Buffer, and which is a Buffer's social tool, just like Hootsuite. But Pablo, that's what I'm doing. I'm Pablo. I'm going along here. Pablo is, I find it's kind of limited. Canva just opens it up. So what Canva does is it allows you to, oh man, it's so incredible in so many different ways. Canva allows you to create really simple graphics. So you can take an image or a picture or a background. You can customize any size, but they actually know all the standard sizes for, like, if you're doing a YouTube artwork channel header, or whether you're doing a podcast, or you're doing iTunes thing, or whether you're just doing social media, or whether it's something on Facebook, or like they have all those templates there for sizes, and you just grab one. And then when you grab it, you go grab a photo, you click on a photo, it automatically puts it in that size. And then you can put text on it. You can add little PNG files, which are transparent files. So you could take a vector image, like an icon, if you will, like what you would call an illustration, if you understand design. And you can click on that, and it'll put it over top of it. there's so many neat little things you can do that are so simple. Like if you go, if you wanted to get more sophisticated, you'd have to go up to Adobe Illustrator, for instance. And Adobe Illustrator would cost you a lot more money, be way more complicated to use. So Canva allows you to do some really simple things really easily without all the bells and whistles. But a lot of times you don't need the bells and whistles, especially for social media and creating graphics for social channels. So this thing is really amazing. So if you want to spruce up your social profile backgrounds and stuff, mm-hmm. you have no excuse anymore that I just introduced you to Canva.com.
That's awesome. And a lot of people's, you know, backgrounds on their social profiles, they're terrible. They're like terribly pixelated pictures, or they're really not the right size. That's really awesome.
Yeah. So another thing you're always going to want to do before you use Canva, because I don't believe Canva does this, is you want to look at safe zones. So if you do a, let's say a YouTube channel header, and it's a massive graphic, I think it's 2,500 pixels by 1,500 or 1,400, something like that. It's huge. The truth is a lot of that gets covered by other stuff that's on your YouTube channel, right? So you, if you're going to put your logo and you put it in the middle of that, it's not going to ever show up. It'll be blocked by something else. So you have to go onto google.com. That's not one of our marketing tools, but I guess it's, you could make it our 11th if you want. Go into Google and look up safe zones for whatever you're doing. And they'll tell you, you know, keep it this many pixels up, and you might just have to go in and adjust stuff a couple times, add it to your channel, but it's pretty quick to figure out. And Canva is so fast that you'd be able to move around there real quick. There is a free version of Canva. And it can do, and they have a ton of images that you can, that are royalty free that you can use. And then if you want to buy images from them, they'll sell you images as well. So it's a pretty amazing tool. I absolutely love it.
Well,
you ready for number three?
Yeah. Ready for number three. Let's dive in.
Number three is, I would say, the most important tool that I've ever used in my business. And with larger clients that we've had over the years, we've trained them on how to integrate with this system so that they can work with my company, Tactibrand. And a number of them have asked us to set it up for them for their own companies. So what it is Feng Office, F-E-N-G Office. So you can just Google that. Feng Office is a productivity tracking tool. Productivity, it's a project tracking tool. Project and collaboration tracking tool is probably even more clear. So it's not like a Microsoft project type of system, which are really complicated, you know, running Gantt charts and all that kind of stuff. This is way more practical than that. There's other great ones out there, like, what's that one that's not Slash? What's that other one that we've used before?
I don't know.
Anyway, I like this one the best. It's more detail oriented, and the other one that's kind of driving nuts. I can't remember that now. Anyway, but Feng Office is a really good, we've been using it for years. So what it allows you to do is to create workspaces for different people that you're working with, create tasks, assign documents that go underneath within those workspaces, and you can have sub workspaces. So if I was doing some work for a client, I would have the name of that financial company. Then I would have a sub workspace that says, you know, logo and graphics, one that says brand, one that says website, one that says content. It's pretty easy to use. You set up tasks, you assign it to different team members, and you can track with comments on each of the tasks where everything's at. And you can attach files if they've been updated. You can have version control, which is really amazing when you're working on a document. It's a really great tool, and it's fairly inexpensive as well. So that's number three.
Number three. Now we have number four. Now, so again, this is another one I've never heard. So number one, MindMeister. Number two, Canva.com. Feng Office, number three. And what is Trint?
Number three is Trint. This is a newer one that my business partner found recently. I don't know if it's the best, but he's usually pretty good at assessing these things. But we try not to look for perfection either when you're looking for these things, because they all have their good parts and bad parts. But Trint is a translation tool, but it's not automated versus manual, if that makes sense. So what you do is you take an audio file. So what we do with all of our podcasts is we actually send them to Trent. We get them transcribed, and then we hand it off to a professional writer that works for us, right? So Trent very quickly transcribes, and it actually has this really neat a deliverable where you can see what times different things start, parts of the conversation started. So you can go back and look for certain parts and look for, you know, if you were going to do some audio editing, that's really amazing. Now it's pretty inexpensive too. So if you're a financial advisor and you want to dictate notes from a meeting and have them transcribed for your team, brilliant tool. It transcribes them in less than 2 minutes. That's for about a
less than two minutes.
About a 20 minute file takes about 2 minutes.
Wow.
And it does a really great job of it too. It's like, you're not going in there fixing a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah. You know, you have to go through it and fix a bit if you're going to use it as an article or, you know, something,
right.
You know, beyond notes to your team, but it's a pretty incredible tool. And, it's fairly inexpensive. I think you get a couple hours for $13. So you just buy blocks of 13. I don't know why 13. I think it's 13 something as well.
Oh, wow. Really specific.
Yeah. Yeah. Threw a dart at a wall.
Well, yeah. I really like things like this. I've talked about this from a practice management standpoint for many, many years. You know, instead of the advisor sitting down and writing, you know, the summary or the notes after a client meeting, they should just dictate them. And then the dictation through Trent should just go to the person who cleans it up and then puts it in the client's file. It's just so much more efficient. You guys talk all day long, every day. And so why not continue to use your voice to be even more productive and successful? Now, the next one I think you said was about to try to get things through compliance. Is that what webcapture.net was again?
Yeah. I mean, when we build websites for clients, sometimes they ask us, you know, they say, hey, look, compliance needs us to send them a PDF of every page in the website. And screen captures normally aren't great at that scrolling thing. So what you do is go to web-capture.net. And all you do is you take every page of your website, you put the URL in there, and it takes a screenshot, a scrolling screenshot, if you will, which ends up being just one long JPEG. And then you can grab that image and save it to your files. It's pretty fast. I think it's about 30 to 60 seconds to capture each page and then provide you with the link to the image. So it's and it all happens on that website. So you have instant access to it. You don't have to wait for a bunch of emails to come, stuff like that. So it's a really cool little tool. Sometimes we do it for them. Sometimes we just hand it off to them and they get it done.
Nice. Now, I've used this next one a whole.
Much I like.
What's that?
Depends on how much I like them.
Well, yeah. I don't know if you actually should have said that out loud, because some of your past clients would be, oh, my God, I don't think Kirk actually liked me that much. That's brutal.
We've just been doing it recently, so don't freak out, people.
Now, the next one is something that I know you use often, because it is a great way to see what else is out there and also if the brand name that TactiBrand is coming up with is available. So let's talk about the TESS trademark database.
Yeah, so a lot of times when we're creating brands, advisors want to be able to protect themselves with the work that, you know, work that they've done with us. So we do a trademark search, like a initial trademark search is what I would say. I mean, it's possible that it doesn't look like there's any infringements, and then as you go a little bit deeper with a lawyer, they always find something. I love it. But their job is to protect people, and that's what they do. So, but we even have access. I even have a lead for a trademark lawyer that we've been using. His name is Josh Gerben, and he has a pretty simple process. He's actually a fairly inexpensive trademark lawyer and does a really great job because it's all he does. He doesn't try to be everything to everybody.
There you go. I think we've talked about that in other podcasts, haven't we, Kirk?
I think so.
Yeah.
Anyway,
maybe just
and
bit.
Guess what? He's so good at it and so efficient and well-priced, I refer him all the time.
Hmm. Nice.
Funny how it works, eh?
Now, is he a Canadian or is he working both?
No, he's American.
Oh, he's American? Okay. Yep. Yeah. I don't know if you just heard that, everybody. He said, A. So I just had to, you know, specify if Kirk was going all Canadian on us here. All right. Well, so we've done, how many is that now? Six. That's six. So number seven.
Yep. So test trademark database, just like it's a U.S. government address. Just type in TESS as T-S-S. Jeez. T-E-S-S. Trademark database and Google and you'll find it.
Now, the next one is great for overall productivity and making sure that when you're using social media, you're using it efficiently. So let's talk about the next one. Number seven.
Yeah. So number seven is Hootsuite. You could also use Buffer. I prefer Hootsuite and I think that it's pretty easy to use and organize. I think when advisors think about using social media, and I know that you've promoted this in your social media, was it Social Media Handbook for Financial Advisors? Is that the name of your book?
That is the name of the book.
Yeah. You talked about Hootsuite a lot in there, correct?
I did talk about Hootsuite a lot. And in fact, surprisingly enough, that book's starting to sell again. So I don't really know what's going on. But if you want to, you can still buy it on Amazon. It's the Social Media Handbook for Financial Advisors. We talk about Hootsuite. We talk about a couple of other programs like that in the book. And it really is a great way to pre-populate tweets to go out or posts to go out when you're not actively on social media. It makes it so that you become truly ever-present as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of financial advisors who are not believers, or maybe they believe social media, either they believe or not, but whether you do or not, if you're going to implement social media, you have to have a tool that makes it simple. Because you can't be spending, you know, an hour a day on social media or a couple hours a day. I mean, you can, but I don't think you'll find that productive in your day. You can have people, but when you get a tool like Hootsuite, you can set up you can bulk upload all of your social activity and schedule it for an entire month or even, you know, you can do it far in the future if you want to. It does limit you to 350 messages in there at any given time. So if you're doing that many messages over 2 months, then you would have to do it every 2 months, if that makes sense. But it's a pretty great tool. Yeah. It allows you to track, you know, what's going on, you know, like chatter about, you know, when people are mentioning you, what, you know, people that you want to follow, what they're talking about. So you can do some neat things to track what's going on in social media and see. And there's also some tracking of how successful some of the stuff you're doing is, although that's still not fully baked out yet. But most social companies are having a hard time tracking all the stuff that's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of a bummer.
That's a great tool. There's another one that I was recently introduced to called grapevine6.com. And I think they're a little bit more geared. I haven't checked it out. So I'm purely speculating here based on not the greatest website, but I think it says right on the front page there are a bunch of engineers who created this.
Not the creative types, huh?
Yeah, so I gave them a little bit of slack. But and they're in Toronto too, so maybe I should go for a beer with those guys.
There actually, you go.
They're in the Distillery District, which is a beautiful place.
That sounds to go like a fun place to go. I'll go with you. How's that?
Perfect. Anyway, so Grapevine 6, I think they're a little bit more about how to sell online. So how to watch and look for trends and then be able to identify opportunities to go take a relationship to another level, things like that. So
gotcha.
Anyway, that's grapevine6.com. They would be worth going to check out. So that's number...
That was number seven. Now, number eight is, this is newer to you. You and I have talked about this a couple of times. We've at least mentioned it in podcasts, but I've seen you working with this. So this is a new way for you to build websites, right?
Yeah. I mean, for years, websites are a really tough project. If advisors know that they need to have good websites, most of the companies that provide cheap websites don't provide good websites, to be frank and honest. The companies that provide good websites charge a lot of money. I mean, a website really, a custom website for somebody to consult on it, create all the content and all the graphics and then decode the whole thing and then set the whole thing up. I mean, 15 to 20 grand is a very reasonable price to pay. Most advisors, you know, that freaks them out. They don't have the budget and or the spirit to invest in something like that. I think it pays off easily, but I understand that, you know, advisors have a lot of other expenses, and so it's a tough call. It's also a really tough call if you're a website company and you, or in my case, a branding company, and you know you got to bring somebody's brand to life, but it's a difficult decision. So for years, you know, like cost-wise, because advisors, it eats up a lot of cost on the project I'm doing for them, and then they want to skimp on other areas that are really important to making that website actually work. So what we've been doing for years is trying to find a website partner. And to be quite honest, I've been unsuccessful because I just haven't liked a lot of them. But I found one recently, and probably about 6 or 8 months ago. And they were kind of up and coming. So I think they're more open to finding partnerships, which was great. I really love their platform. They don't focus on a lot of bells and whistles that don't mean squat, stuff like calculators and having these big content databases with content that's, you know, the same thing that, you know, it's just a database and everybody would have the same article. So they focus on having a really great platform that allows an advisor to quickly get in and build a good website that's going to set them apart. So they have their templates. I think their templates are good. I think a creative advisor can do more with their templates than it might appear. But I've connected with them and created a Tactibrand template. Unfortunately, right now it's not available to all advisors, but I really like the company. I really like how they work. I think they have really good prices. I think it's $500 for a setup fee, $65 a month. And I think it's $100 an hour if you need custom work, which is actually, believe it or not, lower than what most of their competitors charge.
Wow.
And I like them. I think they're growing. I think they're really hungry to have a really robust platform. I think their platform is one that they can easily expand on. I know some other companies that I've worked with, I won't name names because I don't think that's fair, who have really cumbersome platforms. Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult the way they coded their platforms to move their sites forward. And so it's very expensive for them to kind of redo this. These guys have much newer code. Much more organized for how they can build onto their platform in the future. And that might not seem like a big deal, but trust me.
It's a big deal.
I haven't been in this business of websites, website design for a long time. Anytime you can create something that's not really scalable, but it'll work better into the future, says a lot about a company. You know, maybe in 15 years, these guys will have more challenges, but I don't think so. They seem... they've seemed to be set up really well for the future. So that's 20over10.com.
All right.
I really like these guys, and stay tuned because I'm hoping maybe sometime in 2018, I doubt it'll be 2017, but we'll see, that we could actually get them to release a Tactibrand template. And that's a lot of the stuff that we do on our websites will be available as a module there for you to input, you know, your paper or your podcast and some different things that we do on all of our websites. Anyhow.
Well, maybe one of the things that you should do is we should get them on the show. Let's talk about what makes them unique and different. Let's talk about what they've learned in web development and design and let's do a podcast with them.
Really, we could have, we need to get Hootsuite on the call too, but anyway, yeah, absolutely. We can have them on a call. So that was number eight. Sorry,
that was number eight. Number nine, so many advisors get stuck in the language of using the same words that everybody else uses to describe their goods and services. And the power thesaurus that you're going to talk about, I really believe that more people need to lean on thesaurus. Thesauruses? Thesauri? Do you have any idea what it is? I like thesauri. We're going to go thesauri today. But you really should lean on this product a lot more. And the powerthesaurus.org is a great, great tool. And Kirk, tell everybody how you use it.
I mean, I especially use it well before the writing process, actually when I'm creating brands, because a lot of the time I take words or phrases or concepts that advisors end up being really core to who they are or what makes them different or what their strengths are. But they may use a word that is more common, and I'll look for a different way to describe it. Sometimes that can have huge impact on when you're developing a brand. I mean, obviously, it's a really great tool to have on when you're coming up with call to actions, offers, and just in your writing in general. Can be really good for creating a title for your blog post or your podcast. Like, you know, for our title of our podcast today is Kirk's 10 Favorite Marketing Tools. I could have come up with another word for favorite. probably didn't need a thesaurus to do that, but
yeah,
we just did this quick, and because we're, you know,
we're being efficient with this stuff, and we're trying to get as much of our thought leadership out as we possibly can. And I mean, one of the fun things, well, not necessarily so much fun things about a thesaurus is you can get sucked in, and all of a sudden you're 15 pages deep. It's like getting sucked into YouTube. So go in with a very specific target and try to achieve that.
Yeah. There's also a ton of ads that flash while you're trying to do this. Anyway. So powerthesaurus.org is the one that I use. I like it quite a bit. It's got a great interface, really quick, runs fast. Anyway, powerthesaurus.org. That's number 9.
That's awesome. Now, the 10th one here was something that, if I'm not mistaken, I introduced you to. Is that correct?
No.
Oh, damn it. Seriously, I wanted to get some sort of credit for any of these. Darn it.
All right. You did introduce it to me in your own mind, but I'd already known about it.
In my own mind.
So you were so happy, to be honest.
I was really happy that I was contributing to your genius. I guarantee it. But okay, so fine. Screw you. So this is another one of those things that
is a bit of an ass for calling me on our show on this. But so Fiverr.com.
Fiverr, yes. I'll
let you spell it for them though. How about you spell it?
Yes, it's Fiverr.com. So dive in. What do you like about Fiverr?
So I mean, Fiverr is a really great place to get little projects done in marketing, and we actually use them. So, in our podcast service, one of the things that we do, and you'll have noticed when you started this podcast today, there's this really great radio type voice who is not Matt or I. We paid them. We created a script. We paid them to do that as a professional voiceover, and then we went and grabbed music. And we got that professional voiceover to combine them as one file, and we did it through Fiverr. It was a really small project. We don't need to have an employee who does that all the time. It's the same thing in your practice. It's just an outsourcing option for marketing and other skills that you need to help that you might use to grow your business. So you can get writers there. You can get all kinds of talent there. I find it makes it really easy. Fiverr makes it really easy to see who's actually good. They have all kinds of pricing. I find it's really easy and quick to figure out what kind of pricing. So some people will say, you know, I start at $5 for this one thing. And then you get in there, you quickly realize, yeah, but it's $5, $10, $15, $20 for every little add-on you want. But you can quickly go see what those are anyway. So sometimes somebody who says they're $5 isn't any different than somebody who starts at $35, because a $35 might package all the stuff they have. I find, to be quite honest, when I'm looking for a voiceover, for instance, they're pretty much, there's like a whole bunch and they're all priced the same. Mm-hmm. Like they all checked each other out. They're all, you know, there's so, but you can see how many they've done. You can listen to clips. You can see their portfolio of work. They're very easy to communicate. It's very easy to communicate with everybody, and it's very easy to place an order and get your stuff back. And Fiverr makes sure that, you know, you're getting what you expected to. So I think it's a great platform. And I absolutely love using it for small marketing projects. You know, anytime you can't use somebody you don't have full-time work for or mm-hmm. even part-time work for, it's just, you know, once in a while, it's a beautiful place.
Well, one of my favorite things to use Fiverr for is proofreading. So when I write an article, I will send it to this woman. She's actually, I don't even remember where she lives, but she's very, very fluent in, I think, 6 different languages. And so she really looks at it from a grammar perspective, which is also very helpful for me. And every time it costs me, I think, $10, right? It's $10, and that's with a tip, right? Because I actually like to tip them because, you know, well, they do good work and it's fast. So Fiverr.com.
I never knew you could tip them.
What?
I didn't know you could tip
them. Oh, you can totally tip them. It's in the review process. You should double check that, man. That's how you get them to really love you and turn your work around even faster. So, all right.
I did not know that.
Break them down. Let's start from the top.
Etiquette brought to you by Matt.
Yeah, Howell. There you go. Absolutely. I don't think I've ever been credited etiquette for etiquette
tools.
You know, I always message the seller afterwards. So after the product has been delivered and I have reviewed them, I will specifically email them back and just thank them again. It really does go a long way. It's like, you know, when we're talking about client service, sending a thank you card, very few people do that.
Okay, so Matt, do you tip them 15%?
Seriously? Oh, no, 10, I tip 10%. I tip way more than 15%. So
50?
You ever watch the movie?
Well, our gig is $5. I'm just trying to figure this out, man.
Yeah, so if my gig was $5 and they got it to me on time, I will tip them $5.
I didn't even see that in the review process. I'll have to check it out.
So have you ever seen the movie My Blue Heaven?
No.
Okay, it's an old movie. Steve Martin, Martin Short. No, it wasn't Martin Short. Anyway, but one of the things is Steve Martin is a gangster that gets in the witness relocation program in the States. And he's walking around and he's tipping everybody in the FBI. Rick Moranis says, you know, why are you tipping everybody? And he says, I don't believe in tipping. I believe in over tipping and I tip everybody. So I took that to heart when I was like 16. And ever since I believe in tipping, man. I think it's always a nice gesture to give a person a couple extra bucks because they do a good job. So.
Yeah, I'm pretty generous with tips. I always have been, but I just didn't know you did tips at Fiverr. Yeah,
absolutely. All right, break them down one more time, brother, before we're done today.
Yeah, mindmeister.com, incredible mind mapping tool. Canva.com, great place to go get internet graphics. So quote memes, social profile imagery. Neat stuff like that. Fang Office, a great place to review and manage and collaborate with all your projects in your business. Trint, a great place to go to get your audio transcribed. Webcapture.net, so web-capture.net, wonderful place to go if you need to send your website pages to compliance because it will take a screenshot of your entire page, even the stuff that's below the line. Test Trademark Database, if you're working on a brand or some concepts or a financial planning process, you can quickly go to that trademark database online and make sure there's no trademark infringement possibilities. Hootsuite.com, great place for your social media implementation, aggregation, distribution, stuff like that. 20over10.com, and that's all that's spelled out as letters, not numerals. So 20over10.com is a great advisor website platform. And number 9, powerthesaurus.org. That one's pretty self-explanatory. And number 10, Fiverr with 2Rs.com for help getting outsourced marketing type work.
Fantastic.
You can get people to do some, you know, you could get people to do other stuff too. Like you could just go, you just want to have some fun and what do they prank a friend. You could go give somebody $5 to do some stupid, crazy video and then just hand it off. Like do like a fake news report for your city or something. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, did you see this?
Yeah.
Well, today? Yeah. I mean, you could prank somebody with Fiverr.com. So it's not just marketing.
And with you can prank somebody on Fiverr.com, we're going to be done with our podcast today. We talked about Kirk's 10 favorite marketing tools. And today was episode 20. Thank you very much. And stay tuned. We got lots more stuff coming.